Now, if you remember last week when I closed, I told you guys, I said, I'm going to challenge you this week. We were talking about a committed heart. And we looked at Rehoboam, who it said that his heart wasn't committed. And I said, I'm going to call somebody up out of the audience and see what they did to take a step to commit their heart even more this week. And so I'm going to be true to my word. And as I scan the audience here, Matt, come on up here. I don't know why I picked you, brother, but, you know, I want you to tell everybody what you had to do this week that made you kind of commit yourself in a greater way to serving God. And to
as Pastor Don said, I did the morning Bible study today. And this one, thank you. Thank you. This one for me was especially challenging because I had to really take a look at the strongholds in my flesh, and God was really challenging me to in areas that I was weak. There was a reason why I was weak there, because I was strong in areas that I shouldn't have been strong in. I was strong in unforgiveness. I was strong in fear. I was strong in pride. And he really challenged me this week to attack those things and bring them down, and bring those strongholds down in my life, so that the things that he wanted me to be strong in, like humility and peace and joy, I would be strong in. And I really felt like this teaching for me was one that I was able to, he challenged me more, but I was able to grow closer to him and gain a better understanding of his word and the way that he works.
Amen. Amen. So hopefully all of us this week and in the upcoming week are going to look at an area of our life that we can say, you know what, I want to get a little bit more committed. I don't want to be satisfied with yesterday's man. I want to know him just a little bit more. And then tomorrow, a little bit more, a little bit more. And that's what it is. I don't know about you, but I'm never satisfied with the status quo. Amen. And so I love being around people, hearing what God is doing in their life. I love to see these young people up here using their gifts, outside of the church using their gifts. You know, and it's a challenge to me, like, hey, don't sit back. And so as we saw last week, we talked about this guy by the name of Rehoboam. And we're going to read a little bit just to recap, and then we're going to go into a little bit today. So open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and we're going to read a little bit just to give you a little flavor from last week, but to get into what I want to speak about this week. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. After Rehoboam's position as king was established, and he had become strong. There you go, Matt. He and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord because they had been unfaithful to the Lord. Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen and the innumerable troops of Libyans, Succites, and Cushites that came with him from Egypt. He captured the fortified cities of Judah, and he came as far as Jerusalem. And then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak. And he said to them, this is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me. Therefore, I now abandon you to Shishak. The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, the Lord is just. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, and he said, or since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. They will, however, become subject to him so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of other lands. When Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem, he carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took everything, including the gold shields Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them, and assign these to the commanders of the guard on duty at the entrance to the royal palace. And whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards went with him, bearing the shields, and afterward they returned them to the guard room. Because Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord's anger turned away from him, and he was not totally destroyed. Indeed, there was some good in Judah. King Rehoboam established himself firmly in Jerusalem and continued as king. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. And he did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. You were here last week. We used that last verse. He did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. How would you like that to be engraved on your tombstone? Or somebody to speak that at your funeral? This person did evil because they did not set their heart on seeking the Lord. And I know when I read that, it stops me right in my tracks. I want to look and I want to say, Lord, I want to examine my life. I was kidding Matt afterwards because he was talking about taking an evaluation of your life, having a checklist that you go down so that you don't get caught in all these things, you know, pride and whatever it might be. And afterwards I said, you know, one of the things is our hearts are desperately wicked. Give somebody an evaluation sheet to fill out for you and see what they write. And you might be a little bit surprised, you know. We do that all the time after the Bible release. At the end of the year, we give the kids an evaluation form. And sometimes you just got to throw some out. You figure, oh, this kid don't know what he's talking about. Okay, Pastor Don didn't know what he's talking about. Okay, get rid of that one, you know. And I do that with the girls on the softball team at the end of the year. And I don't know if they were joking, but one of the girls, because they don't put their names on it, but I can figure out who it is, because I'm a handwriting expert, all right? And so there's a list of things there like, you know, how is the coach dressed for practice? Does he know what he's talking about? And they gave me like a D. And boy, that pride welled up. Hey, I'm going to call her on. Man, I know who wrote this. And I'm thinking, she, you know, just joking around. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this girl's evaluating me. She don't know what she's talking about. You know, and you try to justify things, don't you? But I had to sit down and I said, you know what? That's going to inspire me to learn even more. Instead of getting mad, even if it may have been a joke, I don't know. I said, I'm going to cause myself to evaluate things. And so sometimes we hear those words of evaluation, right, that we don't want to hear. We want to hear all the good stuff. Alex, you sing so nice today. It was like heaven coming down. And Candace, you did such a great job on the keyboard. It was like heaven coming down. And Mike Kazizzi, where's he at? Ah! And see, right then, you would think, well, wait a minute, you know. He's just saying that. No, they all did a great job, by the way. Mike, I was just using you as an example because they're just like a duck, man. That water roll off his back and don't knock me out after service. Did a great job. He did, by the way, he did the lead guitar today. You know how hard that is? Amen. You know that he's got to learn all those little notes and things like that. See, I can just strum up there and play a chord. That's easy. But to do the leads takes a lot of practice. So, but if you're here last week, we spoke about Rehoboam and we said he didn't get into this condition just one day wake up from bed and say, guess what, I'm going to be uncommitted to the Lord. But there was a process that he went through. And we talked about, I'm just going to review real quick. We said the first thing was that he forgot the prophetic vision that had been spoken over him. And we talked about what his name meant, and that was it, to enlarge the people. And he was the son of Solomon. He was the one who had been anointed to be the next king of Judah and all of Israel. He was God's appointed man for the position. Do you realize you're God's man or woman for a certain appointed position? I don't care if you're a mother, father, you work in a business somewhere, whatever you do, you're there and God has established you there. He's put you there for a reason. But he forgot the prophetic unction, that call of God that was upon his life. We also saw that he was lured away by other loves. We talked about his mother and his mother's name, Pleasant. Pleasure. And she was an Ammonite, we read there. And that she led Solomon's heart away, but that mother had great influence on what he did later on in life. And we talked about a little bit about how we're going to influence people, aren't we? For good or bad? You know, and so we've got to, as Matt said in his little class, take that inventory. I want to influence people towards good and not evil. We saw that Rehoboam, he followed the negative example of those who had influence over him. That was Solomon, that was his mother. We know Solomon started off good, and then he married many wives and from different cultures, and they brought in the false gods, and we read the little story about Solomon making these idols in high places. And isn't that the way we are? We start off good a lot of times, don't we? But I'll tell you what, the idols are always there. When I was on my way into church today, a friend of mine who's a reggae singer down in Jamaica, and he's a gospel singer, Lester Lewis, and he does a song called Bow Down to Idols. And I love, I was coming in today, and he says, I'll never bow down to no idols, never bow down to no Selassie, never bow down to Mohammed, because I love the Lord Almighty. I love the Lord Almighty. I love that song, man. It just gets me going there. But those idols are always there, aren't they? The Apostle Paul went into Athens, and what did he notice? He said, I've been here, and I've walked around the town, and I've noticed all your objects of worship. But I'm going to declare to you the one true God. So we always got to be mindful that there's those influences always there, always calling to us. We also saw that Rehoboam, he became enamored with his success. We read about him strengthening the cities of Judah and Israel. And we saw this in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, after his position as king was established and he had become strong. When you think you stand, what? Beware, lest you fall. And so that inventory, as you said, you thought you were strong. You were strong in all these other areas, but those weren't the areas that God had called you to be strong in. Amen? And so he had become strong. He thought he had arrived at a certain destination, at a certain point, because of his intellect, because of his strength, whatever, good fortune. But he forgot that it was God that had put him in there. And you know, as kings, they were commanded that they had to write a copy of the law, and every day they had to read it. And we read this last week, so that their hearts would not become prideful, and they would look down on those that they were over. Rehoboam also, he followed the advice of the ungodly. Do you remember when his brother Jeroboam came to him and he said, lighten the yoke that is upon us. And if you do, these people will serve you. They will love you. And he went to the elders that had served with Solomon, men that had become wise, and they said, listen to the people, lighten the yoke. But he didn't listen to them, and he went to the young men that he grew up with, and he says, how should I answer these people? And they said, if you thought my old man was tough, wait till you see me. I remember years ago we had a home group. This is going way back in the 80s, and there was a young guy, and he introduced himself to the home group like this. He says, they call me the hammer, and I'm going to hammer on you. How long do you think he lasted as a home group leader? Not very long. Okay? So we see that he went, he listened to the advice of those young men, and it caused a division in the land. And we see the 10 tribes, they rebelled and they left, and they no longer, and then they fell into idolatry. And Rehoboam, he had 2 tribes that were left. But this was the process. And then finally, it says that he abandoned the word of the Lord. And not only did he abandon it, but he influenced other people to abandon it. And so he arrives at this area, this scene. You know, and we read about his early job as a king, and we see he did some good things. But then he gets to this process here, and it says at the end, verse 14, he did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord or committing to the Lord. And so that's what we spoke about last week. And I want to look at this week. What are the fruits when our heart begins to be drawn away and we don't commit ourselves to the Lord? What begins to happen? Well, let's go back here, chapter 12, verse 1, and read just a little bit. And after Rehoboam's position as king was established, and he had become strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. So that's the condition. Right? And because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, what happens? Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. Immediately, what began to happen? The enemies that were around Jerusalem begin to attack. And it wasn't the Babylonians, and it wasn't the Assyrians, and it wasn't the Arabs. It was the Egyptians. Now, we read in Scripture about the Egyptians. What does that represent? Well, it represents the world. We know the story of Moses bringing the Hebrews out of the land of Egypt. And that's a type of us that when God saves us, He brings us out of the thinking of the world, the death of the world, the ideas of the world, the living of the world, and He brings us into a new land. A land that is a land of milk and honey. And by the way, for us as believers, that's a land we should be living in. And what does that mean? That means we should be feeding from His Word. We should be nurtured by the Spirit of God. We should be growing. And we see this man, Shishak, now attack. And when we begin, our heart begins to get uncommitted. Guess what? The enemy comes around. The world, the devil comes in like a flood. I think you spoke it earlier this morning. Satan is our adversary, and he's looking for someone to what? To devour. You know the Shishak, his name, now this is kind of interesting. It means from the bag, the thigh. And it has reference to reproduction. Do you remember when Jacob wrestled with God and he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And God gave him a great blessing. What did he do? He touched his hip and his thigh, his leg went out of place. What kind of blessing is that? Poor Sammy came into it. You guys see Sammy come walking in with that bandage on his leg? Look like, you know, poop deck Paul. See, some old people, Donna, you know who I'm talking about. All these young people are like, who's poop deck Paul? I don't know who he is. Bob knows who he is. He used to be good friends with him. Rode on the same ship. But he came in and he was monkeying around with the kids in the bedroom and he jumped and his knee hit the bed and tore his knee. I mean, it was an ugly picture. Where's Diane? I was showing her a picture right as she was eating, and she's like, Pastor, please don't do that. Okay, I'm getting sick of my stuff. I mean, it was cut. It was deep. And so he's walking around. You can see his mobility was limited. And Jacob, when he had his thigh put out of place, what kind of blessing is that? I mean, we pray for blessings. So a new job, maybe a pay increase, you know. Our wives will listen. No, I never would pray that, honey. Never pray that. She prays the opposite. I wish my husband would listen to me, that dummy. But it speaks about reproduction. And it speaks about not relying upon the strength of the flesh. And so in Shishak's case, his name literally means the flesh is now going to attack. That area that you should be relying upon God, that faith that you started your walk with Christ is now diminished and it's come under attack. And Shishak represents the attack of our faith, that when we don't commit our hearts, guess what happens? That faith begins to go down, don't it? And it said about Rehoboam that he abandoned the word of the Lord. Let me ask you something. How do you build your faith up? Faith comes by and hearing by the what? Word of God. Our faith is built up as we immerse ourselves into God's Word, as we read books about the Scripture, as we study. But when our heart is not committed the way it should be, that faith begins to what? Dwindle, dwindle, dwindle. You know, it tells us in the New Testament, build yourself up in your most holy faith. And so we see with that heart is not... You know, Jesus said this, if you love me, you will obey my commands. You see, there's a proportion there. They're equal. If you love God, you got to obey His commands. If you obey His commands, it's showing your, what? Love for God. That's why in James it says, faith without works is dead. There's a reciprocity there. They go together. You can't say, I love God, but not do what He says. And you can't do what he says and say, you know what, I don't believe in God. I'm going to rely upon good works. It's not going to work out that way. But we see Shishak comes and You know, it's always that subtle influence. And when Shishak came into the land, he didn't just march right to Jerusalem, did he? What he began to do? He began to take territory that was under the dominion of Rehoboam, and it now came under dominion of Shishak. And you see, when our hearts are not committed, those areas in our lives that were strong, our prayer life, our Bible reading, our fellowship with other believers, our giving, our use of our gifts, what begins to happen? It begins to wane. And we don't do the things that we used to do. You know, we're on Wednesday nights, we're studying the seven churches of the book of Revelation, and that was one of the rebukes to one of the churches. Go back and do the things that you did at first. Sometimes we got to go back to those fundamentals, amen, and do those things. And so we see here, Shishak comes in, he begins devouring the land, piece by piece by piece. And all the strongholds are captured. So we see first, demonic attack comes, and then the strongholds in our lives begin to fall. As I said, our thoughts, our behaviors, our beliefs. Our Bible study on Thursday. It amazes me what some churches do. I had an article. I think I hand out to everybody, but we talked about it. And maybe some of you saw this. There was a young man over in England. And he was sitting in front of one of the great cathedrals there. And he had the police called on him. And the police were required by, or they were asked by the officials of this big church to tell him to get off the property. Now, what do you think he was doing? Somebody said it over here. Roger, he was reading a Bible. Now, imagine for a minute how ludicrous that sounds. Wait a minute, you're going to ask this guy who's reading a Bible, not interfering, not even talking to people that come in. But they're so upset that people would come by and see him reading, they might ask him questions or what have you. And the police officer himself didn't want to remove this guy off the property. He started arguing with the church officials. He said, listen, this guy's not bothering anybody. But you see what happens when individually our hearts begin to come on. How about a whole church? You think that church was committed to really preaching the gospel? It's incredible what happens. And don't think that doesn't happen in this country at different times. We see our faith more and more coming under attack. But what's going on over there is a predecessor of what's going on here. But I believe that God can turn situations around. Amen. That doesn't have to be what's going to happen. And these nations that had this wonderful Christian heritage have now abandoned it. And Shishak is taking control. And so we see here that he comes and all those things are now captured. All those cities, it says there. And look what happened. Because he had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen and innumerable troops of Libyans, Succites, and Cushites that came with him from Egypt. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. He owned everything. There's just one little piece of property that he didn't own yet. Amen? And maybe some of us were in the same place that Rehoboam was. Everything in our life was just jettisoned, was given over and taken by the enemy. But we still had that heartbeat for God, even though we screwed it up. And even though we screwed it up, God is still there, amen? And he sends those guys a prophet. Thank God for people that will speak into your lives, that'll bring the message of God to you, amen? Because it wasn't too late. And it's not too late for us individually or us as a nation or what have you. But he sends the prophet to them. And all this valuable ground that they had gained. Think about the church. How we've lost ground in education. How we lost the moral high ground in this nation. In politics. In law. If you don't think we've lost the moral high ground, wait till this next Supreme Court justice is nominated. Well, he's already been nominated. But wait till they go to vote on him. And you're going to see the difference between serving the kings of Egypt and serving the Lord God Almighty. There's a divide. Amen? And you watch, and you're going to see the number one item that they're going to be arguing about is abortion. You know, it amazes me. You got the one group, man, abortion is their sacrament. It's sacred to them. But it's the same group at the borders saying, we've got to protect the children. We can't separate the children from their parents. Oh my God, what a horrible thing. Well, how about separating the almost 15 million children from their mother's womb over the course of Roe v. Wade? You see how it just breaks down. It's crazy. But when we abandon the law of the Lord, when our heart is not committed the way it should be, individually and as a nation, there are repercussions that occur. But it's never too late. Never too late. You know, how many of you have seen the movie Patton? Remember the old movie Patton? And he made a statement in there. He says, I don't like to pay for the same ground two times. In other words, he doesn't retreat. He keeps going forward. And how many of you know that's the way that should be the church's mentality? Amen? Can the gates of hell stand against the church? No. We see in the book of Acts that early church turned the Roman world upside down in a matter of 40 years. It was incredible what they did. And we are the recipients today of their sacrifices. Thank God. Well, we see Rehoboam comes with the Cushites and thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And when our heart is not committed to God, doesn't it seem like all our problems just overwhelm us? We just don't have one or two problems. It's like, oh my God, I got a problem in my marriage. And somebody that I know very close to me is now using drugs again. And now somebody else is in financial trouble. And somebody else is in jail. And it's like Niagara Falls, man, just continually washing over you. And you could imagine the people of the land of Rehoboam, his subjects, when they saw this vast multitude coming to him, what was the first thing they thought? Let's get out of here. And they ran to the place where they knew they could be safe, at least for a season. Isn't that like with us? We run to God. I always say this. We don't run to God because things are going great. We run to Him because everything's going to hell in a handbasket real quick. And we're like, oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? But thank God He allows that to come in our life and we have good sense to run to where He wants us to go. But we see here, let's see what else in this little bit. So they're losing valuable ground. Shishak comes and he's taking their strongholds. And they were overwhelmed with fear. Verse 5. Then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem. What? For fear of Shishak. They feared this enemy that was attacking them. Let me ask you something. When they went in and took possession of that promised land, did they fear the enemies? Well, they did when the spies brought the evil report 40 years earlier. But under Joshua's leadership, who was a type of Christ, they went into that land, and what happened? Victory after victory. Oh, they had a setback, and they learned a valuable lesson. Victory after victory after victory after victory after victory until they took control of the entire land that God had given them. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? And Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, a sound mind, and boldness. Amen? And so we should be bold, confident that God is there. No matter what situation you find yourself in, God is there. Not to be overwhelmed with fear, but as our hearts are not committed, guess what? That fear comes in, right? The treasures are captured and taken. Verse 9 and 10. When Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem, he carried off treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace He took everything. It reminds me of the Grinch, you know? You remember that? The narrator. And he even took the little piece of cheese, you know? Mouse runs out, they're going to grab the cheese. The hand comes out of the fireplace. That was Shishak. Taking everything, every blessing that God has poured on your life. The Lord giveth, the Lord can take it. He can allow your enemies to come and overwhelm you. The treasures are captured. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasures are, what? There your heart will also be. Where's our heart this morning, church? Is on being more and more committed? Is it challenging God? God, here I am. Take me and mold me. Use me in greater way. Or is it, Lord, I don't think I can do it. Get somebody else to do it. I'm busy. I'm overwhelmed with things. I'll tell you what, when you commit your heart more and more, you'll find that, yeah, you can be overwhelmed with things, but He will always strengthen you for the task at hand. Always, always. And then finally, we see that they retreated to the stronghold. As I mentioned, they all fled into Jerusalem. But something good happens here. They retreat to the stronghold in verse 5. Then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of, she said. They all gathered there. They retreat to a stronghold. And I like that. Who's our rock? Who's our fortress? Who's our shepherd? Who's the gatekeeper? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff go before me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Church, we're going to retreat to the stronghold, but when we get there, we're going to be strengthened. That prophetic word is going to come forth and say, why are you fearful? Humble yourself before God. And watch what He will begin to do. I don't care how much you screwed up your life. I don't care how much you screwed up a situation. God is there, and He can turn it around. Just as He took that the early world, and it was overwhelmed with the flood waters. When Noah came out of that boat, there was a whole new world. There's a whole new set of growth, a whole new living that's before you. And thank God for that. He's taken the old. It's been buried. It's been washed away. But take whatever it is, humble yourself now, and say, God, I want to be more committed to you. I want to walk with you. I want to have that confidence. Even His disciples, God, I don't know how they did it. I do know how they did it, because they knew who was the resurrected King. They knew who empowered them. They knew who called them for the work. And even though they died horrible deaths, they could go to their death singing. Because they knew that this wasn't the end, but it was just the beginning. And that their Lord and Master had called them to preach that word, to expand His influence, to let that kingdom light shine and to go in all parts of the world. And church, that's the good news about Rehoboam. And I like that story because it's a story of redemption. God redeemed that. He saved the nation. They learned a very hard and valuable lesson. But guess what? Their hearts got recommitted when they were surrounded by their enemies. And sometimes that's what it takes. Church, we have a glorious calling in front of us. Each one of us has a different sphere of influence. And maybe you don't feel that you've been, you're under retreat instead of attacking the enemy. That's what I like about David. Instead of David, that he ran to the battle line. He ran to face the giant. And we should have that type of attitude. God, put me in the midst of hell. Who's this thing that there's a Christian, stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Amen. If I can have the prayer team come up here. We're going to close here. I don't know where you're at today. Only you can evaluate yourself, as Matt said in his class. But a lot of times we lie to ourselves, but at least you can kind of get a good idea of where you're at. You know where your commitment level kind of is. You know, before the season starts with the girls that I coach over at Western, I always tell them, I said, you want to be on this team? Yeah. You know, everybody wants to be on the team, right? And I said, I'm going to make a promise to you. And that promise is this. I'm going to work you like you've never been worked before. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to train you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to expect you to go beyond your expectations of yourself. I'm asking you, are you going to commit and trust me for what I'm about to teach you and where I'm about to take you? And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be an easy path. Don't answer me right away. Think about it. So they all think about it. I had a girl last year and she came, you know, yeah, coach, you know, I want to do all that. Well, about a week in, you could see, you know. I said, didn't you commit? You're going to be a person of your word? And over the course, you could just see that this person, they made that commitment before they knew what it entailed. Doesn't Jesus tell us, count the cost before we do it? And that's nothing but a game. We're on a more serious playing field, aren't we? And so, let's pray and ask the Spirit of God just to move upon our hearts today. Where do we stand as far as our commitment? You know, before the armies of Israel would go into battle, the king or his generals would walk in front of the troops, and they would give a decree to the troops and say this, let any man that is fearful go home. Read the account, because they weren't going to go into battle with people that weren't willing to lay it all on the line, and it may cost them their life, but they knew that their cause was just, amen, and that God was on their side. Should we fear? Say, God, I don't know what I'm about to face, but I know in the past you led me from victory to victory, from victory to victory. The Apostle Paul says he took it from glory to glory to glory to glory. Not that we glory in ourselves, because we'd be abject failures, but we glory in him who strengthens us and leads us and opens those doors. But bow your heads with me as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this example of Rehoboam. And Lord, unfortunately, he lost a lot of valuable real estate, probably a lot of lives, a lot of treasure. Lord, so many things that were at his hand that you had blessed him with. And Lord, we recognize a lot of times our lives mirror that. But Lord, the good news about him is that he humbled himself. Thank God for that. Thank you that you give us those other opportunities. And Lord, it says that there was some good in Jerusalem, that you begin that process once they humbled themselves, once again to restore things unto him. It wasn't what he had, but sure was a lot better where he could have been. Now, Father, I pray for this congregation here today, Lord, that we would commit ourselves anew, afresh, that we would walk worthy of the name of Christ, that we would not shrink back, but that we would go with the boldness that you have given us, and we're all at different levels. Call us deeper and deeper and deeper until we're carried downstream by your Spirit. Father, raise up a mighty army in your body today, Lord, that we take back the grounds that the devil has stolen. And Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. If you would like prayer, please come forward. We've got some committed people here. They're committed to pray for you and seek God. So we have coffee and donuts upstairs. Step up there, fellowship, and God bless you. Get committed.